Well, a very good evening and thanks for tuning in to Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry, coming live from our studio here in Tralee with myself, Donal Barry, and we'll be here right up until 8 o'clock this evening. And first of all, can I thank all our extra listeners after we received our JNLR figures during the week, and it's a great vote of confidence that our numbers have grown once again in places like Esty and Corran and Fyries and Glenfesk. It's great to see all the numbers up. Now, on tonight's show, Dermot Kearney joins us presently to chat about that incredible performance of Kerry FC yesterday in the FAI Cup, pushing Bows all the way to penalties. Andrew Moynihan, of course, will be on with all the reports of this weekend's club football action, as well as Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy. Of course, they'll cast their eyes over the last team standing, both boys at a number of games over the weekend as well, and both of them out and about, which is fantastic as well. Now, in the second hour, we'll chat to Mary B. Tehan, as 550 crews from all over Ireland are descending on Dingle this weekend for the All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Finals. And later, we catch up with the latest Kerry County champions. That's the Ballyduff Minor Hurlers, and a couple of players and management coming in to chat with that, with their fantastic win last Friday evening. So all that and a little bit more, I'm sure, along the way as well. So you can get your views and comments into us as normal, 0667123666. Into Keane tonight, of course, Ivan, big congratulations, married over the weekend, feet up somewhere around the Clarnie area at the moment, I'd imagine, or you can text as well, 083 300 3300, WhatsApp as well. Now Kerry FC took Bohemians all the way to penalties at Mount Hawk Park in the Sports Direct FAI Cup, before losing 4-2 after an eventful match. I suppose it finished 2-2 at the end of 90 minutes, with Bowes, of course, unable to break down the Kerry team during extra time. Dermot Kearney, I presume most supporters have a big hangover after yesterday, getting so close. Is the thought of getting so close possibly the most disappointing thing? Or is disappointment even the wrong word to use maybe in this sentence?
I suppose, Donal, there is a bit of disappointment, you know, to take a team like Bohemians all the way to spot kicks and to lose in the fashion that they did. It was ultimate heartbreak. But I think everyone left Mount Hawk Park from a Kerry perspective yesterday with a sense of pride by what they seen, that even when, you know, people completely wrote Kerry off against a team like Bohemians, who would be a League of Ireland staple in the Premier Division and have been such a successful club down through the years. But the manner that they played, the way that they just showed themselves, that, you know, for a team that are in existence 2 years in the League of Ireland, to produce a performance like they did against Bohemians, and even for the players, you know, there was plenty cramping on show by the end of the 90 minutes and going into that extra time period, but they showed their resilience and they showed their class. But it was just heartbreaking the way the penalties did transpire.
Mm-hmm. That's the end of the game. Of course, that doesn't tell the story of the whole game. I mean, 2-2 at the end of 90 minutes. I mean, and two well-taken goals as well. Maybe one fortuitous enough to get, but I mean, it was still stuck in the back of the net. And it was that old man again, Ryan Kelleher.
Yeah, no, Ryan was a fantastic player. He has been such a strong forward for Kerry since coming into the League of Ireland when they came in, of course, last season. He's the top goal scorer for a reason. He's the go-to man when it comes to it. And, you know, when they went behind early on after, you know, 22 minutes, and again, it was a set piece that they just didn't clear, and you might have thought, look, is it going to happen again, that, you know, the voodoo set pieces and not being able to clear their lines from it, is that going to be another issue? And then, you know, almost out of nothing, it's a ball into the box. You know, Keane Barrett gets inside, of course, Shamrock Rovers man on loan to Kerry, you know, getting the assist against Bohemians. I'm sure he was happy with that, with putting the ball to the feet of Ryan Kelleher, and he taps in from close range. And, you know, Kerry did manage to go behind again just before the break, but they still showed their confidence. And when Ryan Kelleher, of course, the Bowes faithful did think it was a free when he came shoulder to shoulder with the Bowes keeper, but then stuck it in the back of the net. But like that was all, and not just Ryan Kelleher as well, but the performances all around the field. I thought Aaron O'Sullivan was fantastic in goal. Shawnee McGrath missed him when he was ill a few weeks back for one of the home games, but he was fantastic yesterday. And I thought that it was a very mature performance, and I think that that's going to be a thing that's going to stand to this Kerry team, is these performances are only going to help them grow as they develop further in the League of Ireland.
Mm-hmm. That's my final question to you, of course. The learnings from this are massive. I mean, there's people, I suppose, woke up this morning and the headlines were about brave Kerry, defined Kerry, you know, fantastic Kerry. And then on the other side, of course, Bowes probably probably not the bows of what they have been in previous years, have their own difficulties as well, probably, you know, not firing in all cylinders, having to dig deep themselves maybe to get out of jail and get away from it. But it certainly puts Kerry FC in that League of Ireland mix with other clubs and other supporters now saying, yeah, they're there 2 years. I mean, they were fairly decent last year, lost to Drogheda in the end. You know, they took bows all the way to spot kicks. They've got themselves to a Munster Cup final. They're performing much better this year than they did last year, and they're in a lot more games. So the future certainly bright.
It is. When you're taking on teams that have professional players in the manner that Kerry did perform yesterday, you know, that's going to stand to them. And certainly, I mean, there was a few eyebrows raised across the League of Ireland when they saw, you know, Kerry are, you know, it was 1-1 when Ryan got that goal. Unfortunately, soon it became 2-1 when Bowes just scored before half time. But when Kerry eventually did find that leveler early on in the second half, people were looking at that game going, oh, it's still 2-2 in Montauk Park. You know, they're still catching up with a team like Bohemians. And yes, while Bohemians are, you know, not too far away from the relegation zone in the Premier Division, they are still a quality team with plenty of top quality players and have been over the years. But that'll just show that, you know, people who might look down on Kerry being the new boys in the league, and of course some defeats last year that stood out from that as well. But Kerry have grown from it, they've learned from it, and even yesterday the Bohemian supporters that came down were applauding the Kerry players off the field because they said, you know, they put in a performance that deserved their applause, the credit, and Kerry will, and that's going to help them, that's going to help the confidence that people will know that Kerry are a serious outfit now in the League of Ireland. They're here to play, they're not just here to occupy another spot in the league table, they're here to showcase what they're capable of. And by God, did they do that yesterday, and every newspaper has seen that. You know, people are saying, you know, maybe even Kerry were unlucky coming up against a Premier Division team like Bohemians, where some people thought Kerry might have been, you know, swept off the field by a team of their caliber. But it's Kerry that has taken the headlines from the game and not the team that actually did win it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely, they can be very proud of their efforts. Fantastic performance yesterday, of course, in front of over 1100 fans as well. Dermot Carney, thanks very much. Your work doesn't finish, you're off covering a ladies game.
Yeah, Mount Cole tonight, first round of the County Championship, of course. Fanuic St. Cenin is the current holders against Desmond's, and it's windy, it's rainy, it'll be somewhere to be a nice even football out in Mount Cole.
That's all right. I'm just after seeing David Nilligan head out there. I'm presuming he's going out to Mount Cole to support Desmond's. It'll be the only time they'll be in the senior championship this year anyway. Come here, listen, Dermot Carney, thanks very much, best of luck to you. Lads, Liam and John, Liam, you're kind of cold this evening, big hoodie by you and everything.
You have a pair of shorts and there, you're delighted now. What weather you have coming in anyway.
I'm living the last of the summer. Andrew, delighted to have you back. Right, let's get down to it. We'll focus on the club championship, and we'll focus on the senior end of it. Dingle and Crokes make it into the final. Two very different ways. Let's talk about the Crokes getting in there first of all. I mean, at half time I saw the scoreline and thought, yeah, this is handy, but God knows Rathmore didn't give it to them either.
Yeah, I would suggest the scoreline suggested a different kind of game. I thought it was a convincing win for the Crokes in the end. They're back into the senior final for the first time since 2019, which is mad to think for Crokes. But I think what was key for Crokes was they had a lot of men back. Micheál Burns, he got 3 points. He's back into the fold. And even lads like Brian Looney and Gavin O'Shea, who I think is the real anchor of that team, both of them back at the weekend, and they'll be key for them in the final coming up in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. The other game, I mean, talk about excitement John Kennedy was at, we'll get a bit of that in a second, but maybe just fill it in for the listeners.
Yeah, Dingle have done it again in the last minute. A last minute goal from Darrow Sullivan won it for them at the Det. It was a true sign of champions. They defeated Kinmare Shamrocks 3-12 to 3-11 in Park and Osig. There was great scenes once the full time whistle went, and it shows the club championship is well and truly alive. The first half was cagey, to say the least. Both teams were just figuring each other out. There was a hint of shadow boxing, but Dingle, without Thomas Sullivan and Conor Ganey, came off the bench. They were still leading at half time, and the second half, like, where do you start? It was a goal fest. 6 goals in a half. In the 33rd, Kim Mayer got a goal from Darrow Connor, roof of the net. Further on, you get a goal. Then 2 minutes later from Dingle, a high ball was lofted in, and Dylan Ganey benefited from a misjudgment from Kieran Fitzgibbon. He had an open net in front of him to finish off. Just it was straight down, another attack for Kim Mayer. 40 seconds later, they came down and got a goal. Sean O'Shea passed it across to his inter-county teammate Stephen O'Brien. Then 37th minute, if you like 4 goals in 4 minutes, you'll get it in this game. Manic stuff. Cathal Banbury found a net after De Bruyne fisted effort, which was rebounded out to him, and a soccer like finish. Dingle went 2 points up, 2-8 to 2-6, and that wasn't even the end of the goals. There was 2 more to add on to that. Paul O'Connor sent a perfect pass into the cornerback Keane O'Sullivan, who was tripped, and Paul O'Connor finished off a penalty. And then in the dying embers, Dylan Ganey won a free in the 61st minute, and it was like telepathy. He fired a ball into his cousin Paul. He dished it across the square to Darragh O'Sullivan, who finished it, and Dingle won the game. It was brilliant, a brilliant game.
Yeah, absolutely. John Kennedy, you were one of the few privileged to be actually at it and watching it. Fantastic game, great advert obviously for our club championship, the champions, against a team that we probably said the week before mightn't score a lot, or you know, they certainly wouldn't be as attack minded. Kinmare really set themselves up to win this, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And you know, like I suppose the first half a bit of shadow boxing, maybe 8-6 at half time, and people around were expecting Deal to kick on. It didn't happen. You know,
the 8-6 at half time, that was the way we were expecting that game to be anyway, wasn't it? A kind of a cagey affair where you might stay a point or two ahead or whatever. Was anybody prepared for what was going to happen 5 minutes into the second half?
I'd say not really, in fairness. And like Kinmare certainly went at it. They were led by Tommy Cronin on the wing back, and Dara O'Connor. They went at the Dingle defence, and you know, they really asked questions of them, and Shawnee Shea and Stephen O'Brien were playing closer to goal. But on the other side of it, Dingle, you know, without Tom O'Sullivan, without Conor Ganey, Paul Ganey was instrumental in everything. They did well. Barry O'Sullivan in the middle of the field caught some great ball, and then the introduction of Conor Ganey, it looked at a lost cause for people up in the stand. I'd say that, you know, they lost Barry O'Sullivan to black card. Conor Ganey came in, he got 4 points, 3 from playing a mark. An incredible introduction, like, you know, but it was the, I suppose we've been talking throughout the championship, throughout the All-Ireland series, about the negativity. There was certainly no negativity in Dingle on Saturday night. There was defensive play, no question, but I suppose first of all, credit to both teams for the athleticism, for the fitness they showed, the structures they had, you know, some brilliant individual performances. Well refereed by Brendan Griffin, I must say. He let the game flow, and he added to it. He issued cards when he had to, but there was one particular hit in front of the stand by Tommy Cronin, you know, it lifted the roof of the stand, the crowd, it just got him going, it had everything. And you know, hard luck on Kinmare, but like the scenes at the end, you know, when Dingle won, it shows what club championship means in Kerry.
And a lot of that 5 minutes, we'll go back to where the goals came from. The kickouts were long, the next ball was direct, and they were waiting for a break.
Yes, absolutely.
It sounds like really 1994 football, doesn't it?
It does, and you know, but it route won it, and you know, there was defensive play, there was recycling. It had it all. But you know, I think, you know, the Dingle goal, Barry Sullivan won the kick out. It was a long ball down the middle, won his kick out, was fouled. Goal came from it. On the other side, Kinmare won the kick out. They gave it to Tommy Sullivan in front of the stand. He took off. He let it through to Dara O'Connor. There was only one thing in his mind. Most fellas would have been delighted to get a pint. He hit it to the roof, the left-hand roof of the net. Super goal, you know. And it had everything. But you know, most people, after speaking to them, they were scoring. It wasn't extra time, you know. Nobody deserved to lose on the night. But
so you got
time,
your value for your tenor.
It was super, yeah. And there was a buzz around after. Nobody wanted to leave the ground. It's amazing. There was a buzz. And Kinmare, while they were disappointed, they played some great stuff, and great credit to their management team. But I thought the level of fitness, the attitude by players, fella got a hard hit, he was up straight away, he was on with it, no messing around.
But Kinmare must be thinking what they have to do to get over the line.
Finals and semi-finals down the years, and they've always been in the mix. A team that are always in the mix, but surprisingly, as Andrew said, they haven't won since 2019. Dr. Crokes back into a final. You've tipped Crokes very early on. You tipped him to win the league, anyway.
But to be fair, I suppose with Pache back in the helm, and you know, They had a very good campaign in Division 1. They went on and won that quite easily, to be fair. But look, there's a lot of inter-county players. Michal Burns came back into their set-up, which probably gave them a boost. And you could see with him coming back this weekend as well. So he gives that little bit of an edge.
Bit of scoring
power, yeah. There's another guy that I quite like, and I've spoken about him a lot on here, is Mark O'Shea, the middle of the field. He's a guy that...
You really are going around the county looking for midfielders, aren't you?
Well, I tell you, I've seen a coin, and I'll be talking about another one very shortly. But these guys are athletic. They can play in many positions.
Yeah.
And he's
getting to a stage now where he's experienced enough as well. I mean, he's not a young kid anymore either. No. I mean, he's well able to dominate.
And he's coming from good pedigree. Mm-hmm. There is football there. He's good hands. You see him in the basketball as well. He has the basketball hands. He's athletic. He's everything you want in a footballer, but we seem to be kind of ignoring those type of players.
Yeah.
And I think we have to open our eyes a bit more and open the pool a bit more to these guys and throw them in and let them have a go and see are they up for it. We can't keep discussing around the table are they, if they're not or what. Throw them in there and have a go. And I think these guys, that if they are given a chance, they will surprise a lot of people.
And this is the shop window. I mean, the club championship is the shop window for this. Crokes going into a final. They've done enough to beat Rathmore. As Andrew said, they were fairly dominant all the way through. The scoreline kind of narrowed maybe at the end, the goal arrived as well. It looked that way, to be fair. They've lost to Dingle already.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a game they're going to lose again?
It's going to be a great final. And we said it after the first game that these two teams will probably meet again. We kind of had that bit of a feeling about it. They probably are the two best club teams.
Have the Crokes the backs to mark Dingle forwards?
With Tom Sullivan back in the fray, they probably himself and Tony always have a good battle. But the one thing with Crokes now, Keane McMahon is starting to show a bit more. He's young with the last couple of years,
kind of growing into
the Crokes role.
He's getting an extra point.
You have David Shaw, Burns, these guys. Tom Doyle is another fella that's really kind of starting
Charlie Keating.
They have fellas that if they can hit a point, they will trouble a lot of teams. But Dingle again, and we spoke about Dingle, they have the Gainies. They have the scoring machine, and you're on about the way they played the football. That's how you win games. You catch the ball, you get it into our forwards early and let them do the business. And I think whatever team does that in the final will win, because both teams have good sets of forwards.
Yeah. So it's going to be a high scoring final, John, is it?
I think it will
in fairness. And the first round game was the best game of the championship up to last Saturday night, and that certainly it was the best game so far of it. But look, Crokes are a wounded animal when they're beaten, and they have a few lads back, Burns in particular. Brian Looney was on at the weekend as well. Gavin Shea's back. He's the artist, he's the playmaker, vital for them. And when they're beaten once, it should be a great final, because it's two good football.
Credit to Rathmore as well. They're eating in the top table as well. They're always there. They're a club that's. Yeah. I think do they punch above their weight? For a rural club, a lot of good footballers.
Well, they'd be a team that wouldn't be afraid of the Crokes.
They've done through the year with all the new cups and stuff like that.
They've always been competitive and turned the black and amber over. Andrew, when is that final?
The final is in 2 weeks' time in Austin South Park on Sunday, September 1st. Time yet to be confirmed for that.
Sunday, September 1st.
That'll be good.
Can we even wait for
the usual hurling final weekend?
Absolutely. Listen, we'll take a quick break. After a break, we talk the Intermediate Championship.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
There you go. Dingle and Crokes, of course, will play Sunday, the September the 1st at 3:30 PM, Austin Sack Park, extra time, and a replay if level after extra time, so we might have a second day out there as well. And big thanks to Emma Sweeney there, and a big thanks to Mort Murphy, of course. He must be a great fan, Oscar. He's in every moment. So we better start with Mort's, one of Mort's first clubs, Glenbeg Glencar versus Beaufort. Bit of a shock, Andrew, was it?
Probably the upset of the weekend, to be fair.
Just to put it on record, which two pundits backed Beaufort?
These two men, right? Yeah.
And which presenter went with the winner?
Andrew Morrissey.
A big shock. I just felt they were too close to be neighbours for one gang to go ahead. were Glenbeg good value for it? It was a point in the end only.
I think they were. I really think they were. There's quality in that Glenbeg and Carr team. Gavin O'Grady, Liam Roach, Liam Smith, and of course Darren O'Sullivan, the veteran. They did enough to win out that game, and they're convincing for it too. We talked about how impressive they were in a difficult group stage, and they've kind of been the story of that intermediate championship. Now they're the dark horse to win it out, really. It's a big blow to Beaufort. It's hard to come back from a defeat like that, but they're a strong club, and they have young lads in that team, like especially even you mentioned Darragh O'Connor, the man in form, who almost stole it at the end. His effort hit off the post. So yeah, there will be another chance for Beaufort, no doubt. But for Glenbeg, Liam Smith, he's been on fire all championship, and once again he patrolled that midfield. If you're making a team of the intermediate championship, he's there right now. Beaufort can look at Nathan Breen. He kind of kept them in the game the entire way. But to be honest, Glenbeg and Carr, full value for their win, and it's their first intermediate semi-final since coming up to the grade in 2017 when they won the junior club title.
Mm-hmm. Liam, we'll start with you on this one, because obviously you're pushing the midfielders and the whole lot. In a game as tight as this, a midfielder is key.
Very key. And I was at this game, and Beaufort will probably be kicking themselves. They missed a lot.
Is there a sense with Beaufort that on the very big days, maybe their bigger players don't perform to the ability that they have, or maybe they're contained a bit easier?
I think Glenbeg did a great job in containing them. You know, that's if you want to beat a team, you hammer the hammer, and that's what they did. They picked out you know, the Liam Careys, the Darragh O'Connors, these guys, and they really kind of marked them tightly. You know, Glenbeg very organised defensively up front. Then they had Gavin O'Grady, kind of came out from the full forward role and kind of played out around the half forward midfield.
Getting to that stage now where he's a veteran, he's experienced. It's his experience that is kind of opening the door, maybe in the speed.
Yeah, and Darren Dean in the second half, you know, took over really. You know, it caused a lot of hassle. You know, just ran at players. You know, yeah.
He was the old Darren.
He was like a fellow. He was kind of minding himself in the first half. You knew there was a good boost in him in the second half. But Liam Smith in the middle of the field, the game was outstanding. Yeah. Out of the four midfielders, and you were talking, there was four good midfielders there. Now Ronan Murphy, Mike Breen, Colin McGillicuddy, and Liam Smith. And then you had Sean O'Brien thrown in around there as well. A lot of big bodies around there. No, but he did. lead from the front as captain. So no, I was looking at the Beaufort team. I thought the home venue, I knew there wouldn't be much between them, but I thought home venue would get them over the line. Big crowd there, you know. I suppose it's a kind of a local derby, but Glenbeg, Glencar had their homework done. They came out, and no, they missed a few chances as well. And I do think that, you know, with the teams that are left in it, Glenbeg will need to get hit all them in on a given day.
Yeah,
you know, they missed a couple of goal chances.
It had John Kennedy the smell of a mid Kerry final, you know, neighbours, and you know, two teams that will be joined together in 3 or 4 weeks' time with mid Kerry. Once that out, Beaufort only scored 1 point in the first 20 minutes. I mean, when you're at home and you only hit the target once in 20 minutes and you only lose by a point, a start is crucial.
Yeah, it is crucial. And like Liam said, credit to Glenbeg. I'd say they did their homework on the lads. You know, Peter O'Sullivan, very good manager, you know, great experience. I thought Beaufort myself, I tipped them, I thought they'd shade it. But, you know, derby games can go anywhere. Glenbeg had been through before the last round was played. Mm-hmm. They had their place secured. Mm-hmm. And, you know, got there on merit. And like Liam said, the man that everybody's speaking about today and for the last few weeks, Liam Smith in the middle of the field, you know, he's certainly one to look at. But look, when you have players like Darren Sullivan and Gavin Grady up front, they're always a threat.
And Pat Kilkenny started.
And Pat Kilkenny.
He didn't come off just after half time, so he's not 100% yet. No, but you know, he gave a great first half as a leader in there.
Pa has been one of the best man markers around. He's the go-to man to take on the best attacker in the opposition, and he's been doing it for years, and he has the experience. And you know, I suppose you look at it, playing Aston Stacks now in the semi-final.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'll come against Joe O'Connor and he'll have another big test. Pat Kilkenny, of course, who we found out, thanks to Darren O'Sullivan, that he was an NFL fan, first of all, and he was a New York Jets fan, so well done, Pat. Come here, talking about the Jets. Lone Rangers left the Jets go very late in the game. Good win after extra time.
A thriller, really, in Glenfesk, one of the games of the championship. Rangers qualified to the intermediate semi for the first time since 2017. They were both of our teams to win it at the beginning, and now it's looking a whole lot like here. That could happen, but their perseverance to come back. They trailed from the 16th minute to the third minute in extra time. It's really unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Glenfesk had a strong first half, benefited from Darragh Roach and Tommy Bowler, who were very well. Rangers trailed by 7 at 6 minutes in the second half, so you're thinking it's a win for Glenfesk at that stage. But Rangers had other ideas, and Garrod Hassett, Fiacre Clifford got the equaliser. I mentioned to Jason Brown, who denied a late Glenfesk shot at goal, which would have ensured a Glenfesk win no matter what. So that was crucial to Rangers. In extra time, I felt they were the stronger side. Despite Glenfesk, they didn't give up. Stephen Doherty got a goal. Brian Donoghue got a goal to level it. But it was Owen Hassett's goal to win the game, and it was a 4-point win for Rangers. And you often speak of their firepower. Once again, it showed. Owen Hassett, Derek Cleary, Garrod Hassett, Matthew Leslie off the bench. He got 3 points. And Glenfesk might not have been favourites, but they'll be disappointed in how they let that lead slip.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the most haunting thing about a game, isn't it, John? When you get knocked out of the championship, you look at it, and fellas will be talking on the radio and say, God, you're 7 points up, and you know, you're out of the championship. What? That probably haunts a little bit more. But the quality of Lone Rangers, we've kind of mentioned it through the year. I mean, they're a team that are coming, they're kind of on a mission. Obviously, look, Liam is back in charge. I mean, Owen is the nephew, obviously, maybe a little bit more pressure on him. He's producing the goods. They seem to be in a good place, Lone Rangers.
Yeah, they're in a good place. They've been on the up for the last few seasons, and you know, Liam Hass is getting the best out of them. That's a big win for them, you know. And first time since 2017. Mm-hmm. You know, they have been one of the great teams. Back, it evolves, you know, it comes in cycles, and you know, they have.
And they were kind of on the way back in 2017. Slipping down a bit before they kind of took.
Yeah, and they have the exciting Derek Cleary. He's been firing up front for him, and Fiacre Clifford, the Hassetts. You know, they have the quality players.
They have a bench. Exactly. They're deep in the bench. They got 6 points off the bench.
Yeah.
Now the weekend, so yeah, now there are many club teams that would have a bench as strong as them.
Well, I suppose we'll be finding out. Austin Stacks and Killarney Legion, this was the one that kind of hit the two big town teams, I suppose, at the start. Did it work out to be an inevitable win for Stacks?
Yes, but they were made work for their win by the Killarney outfit, probably has to be said. They won on the end on a scoreline of 2-9 to 13 points. The two goals got Stacks over the line, yet they mightn't be happy with the low scoring that they achieved. Glenbey with them in the semi, which will be their third meeting this year. What I noticed from Stacks, that they love an early goal. Paddy Lane in the first game had a goal inside 10 minutes. They had 3 goals inside 10 minutes versus Glimbigan Carr. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday now, Adam Curran scores a penalty inside 2 minutes versus Legion. So if Glimbigan Carr are taking any note, stop the early goals from Stacks. But Legion were kept in the game from David O'Sullivan. I thought Darrelline and Keane Gamble were very well as well. Very good. But the key moment was the Paddy Lane goal. It was a brilliant run down the left wing in the second half from Joe O'Connor. He fisted it across to Paddy Lane, and I think for Legion, James O'Donoghue's presence might have helped them a bit more yesterday in shooting wise. I think it might have added a couple of extra points that could have seen the game go to extra time or something like that. But I think Stacks were the better team on the day.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the game, John, it looked like Stacks kind of just knew they were a little bit better than Legion, and they were able to keep them at bay. They got their goal early. They let Legion come back at them even at half time. I mean, I think there's only 2 points in it. They got their goal, they were in 6 points up, and then they kind of left Legion back into it again, maybe a small bit. Is that a team that is playing that kind of way, or would you worry for a team that might shut off every now and again?
You could worry for them, because you know, when they were in control, you said it earlier on, when you have a lead built up, mm-hmm. you know, you kick on. Stacks are doing enough to get over the line. You know, they were probably the favourites mm-hmm. to win the championship.
They were at home, and their favourites, and all that
pressure. Favourites to win it out, you know. And Legion, without James O'Donoghue, huge loss to them. His experience, probably a couple of points always, you know. But the Stacks, they have the panel. Liam said a minute ago about the bench for Lone Rangers. Certainly Stacks have the panel. They have a lot of exciting young talent coming through from the minors. You know, they have 5 or 6 inter-county senior panellists. You know, so they have the personnel. But sometimes maybe what's their best 15?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that you might be better off not to have as big a panel or not to have as much quality, because there's decisions you have to make. And on a particular day, a lot of young fellas, while they have experience at their own level, this is another step up, and this intermediate championship is really competitive.
Mm-hmm. So, Liam, this is an Austin Sex team that's kind of growing, and I suppose it's a different team to maybe the team that won the Cohen Championship a couple of years ago. A lot of younger players coming through, but a lot of players who have Kerry experience as well. I mean, look, we're looking at Armin Heinrick, Joe O'Connor midfield, Jack O'Shea, Dylan Casey,
Roy Nadel,
so when you look at that and you say, why is it taking so long, maybe?
Yeah, and I don't know your point there at the start to join. What are they doing? Is it a fault they have? No, they're not very exciting for me at the moment. Anyway, no, with the players they have.
Yeah.
You know, I thought yesterday, no, they'd really go out and put Legion to the sword, but Legion stuck with them. No, so I'd worry a small bit for them, because we're coming into semi-final stages now where you're going to meet very competitive teams. No, that if you do switch off, they'll take advantage of it. You see long Rangers yesterday, they went up to 6 points in extra time, and Glenfesk had to get the goal, then to come back.
Yep.
If Stacks do that with any of the three teams that are left with them, you know, they'll be under pressure to get back, because they don't see, and I know they're relying on Petty a lot as well.
They
might have to spread the load a small bit, because teams will watch that and they'll try to cancel out Petty. So Stacks have a lot to do to get over the line yet for this intermediate, but it's going to make a very good semi-final.
No, Stacks did have a spread of 7 different scorers as well. Can we just talk about King Gamel for one moment? I mean, he was a guy that was in their own the Kerry
for a long time.
I suppose he was one of these guys that you might see in a McGrath Cup game, and then you mightn't see him again the whole lot. He's been quite key in this performance in these couple of games for Legion.
Yeah, and has been with a long time for Legion, to be fair. You know, very energetic, you know, attacking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that when he sees a gap, he goes for it. And you could see that yesterday. And I think, you know, I suppose the difference between inter-county football and club football is you're allowed that freedom and you're allowed to do things like that. Probably at inter-county now, you're not allowed to do that. I'd say if you went to attacking a gap now and lost the ball, you'd nearly be getting a bit of a...
John, 1985.
You'd probably get a 3-page dossier and
definitely.
A 3-page dossier on Monday saying that you shouldn't have done that and why you did it and why you shouldn't have done it. So I think that's the main thing with Keane.
No, the one I got wrong. I should never bet against the Clifford, should I?
Never, myself included. Yes, a real exciting encounter in Strand Road. I was at the game myself. Owen Talbot's goal in the first half was enough for Fossett to win it, really. They won by 4 points. I think what lost it for Ahleys was how wasteful they weren't from the posts. It cost them. They had 12 wides in total. I mean, you compare the two conversion rates of the team, Rahaly's 43%, Fossett 65%. That's a massive gap. I think Fossett's brilliant start as well. It laid the groundwork for their win. They led 1-4 to no score after 15 minutes, and that's how long it took for Rahaly's to get their first score through Tomás Kennedy. I think Fossa were able to work their scores a bit handier, which is always clear when you have two Cliffords in your team, and of course the supporting cast of O'Shea and even Rennie and Colleran popped up for a score. They led by 7 at half time, and I think that was too much for Rahaly's. Even in the second half, they plugged away, to be fair to Rahaly's. They got 3 quick points, but what Shane O'Sullivan did for Fossa, 2 big saves from Tomás Kennedy and Tommy Walsh shots, that was a big help for Fossa. It ensured their win.
When Rahaly's needed a goal, I mean, at that stage it would have asked a serious question had they got the goal, because they had momentum, they just weren't able to score, basically.
Absolutely. It would have made for a very interesting finish, but Fossa held their nerve, and I think a crucial stage of the game, Keane O'Shea got 2 quick fire points after the 54th minute, and that settled the encounter. But if you're looking at a man who dominated that game from start to finish, Paulie Clifford, he, as everyone seems to say, he's the quarterback of that Fossa team. He's just has an engine, and it just seemed to be everywhere on the field on Saturday evening.
He's like the Big Ben of Steelers back in the day. He'll get that reference himself. Liam, let's talk about Fossa differently, maybe, because we'll talk about for a couple of minutes now, because they were the beaten finalists last year. People kind of tend to forget that they were that close to being senior. Lost their first game, didn't look that great, you know, kind of rambled away. They're back in the semi-final. Andrew kind of touched on it. He mentioned the word support cast. Is the Fossa support cast getting to a stage now where they may be even moving beyond support cast for the two Cliffords? Because it was always kind of felt they were the Cliffords team, the two boys can do the whole lot, and the rest kind of do a little bit. But those boys are doing plenty now.
They're doing plenty, and I suppose look, the Cliffords have brought them to a certain level and brought them out of the lower divisions in the county leagues. But if you look at it this year, they didn't have the two Cliffords for the county league, and they were very competitive. And I think that stands to fuss the likes of the Shays, the Rinneys, and these guys, Talbert, like Colleran. Some of them have worn the Kerry jersey.
You're on about the Curragh connection
there, Keane O'Shea there is kicking the pints. No, all these guys, Talbert's, you know, Shane O'Sullivan and goals. These guys have got a lot of very competitive games in the county league in the last few months. So, in one way, it's as a management team, you'd be delighted because you say we're moving well now, and plus we have two of the best footballers in the country to come into us. No, so that will really push it on. So, kudos to Fossa. They have been building in the last couple of years, and better they're getting.
Yeah, John on Rahilly's. I mean, you do very well. You get out your group. You win a tough group. You get out of it. You've home advantage, and then you're 1-4 to no score down after 20 minutes or 15 minutes. I mean, that must be disappointing.
Yeah, it was a tremendous start for Fossa. It's what Rahilly's didn't want, you know, and for a team that has come down, there's a lot of pressure to get back up and to win. Very proud club, look, and you know, they have a lot of the same names in the team, you know, injuries with Tommy and that, not a help either. Jack Savage, I think 9 points he kicked, you know, so
very good game, actually.
A very good game, you know. Cormac Coffey, they'll be disappointed, but you know, I said a few weeks ago about Fossa, apart from the first 40 minutes in the first round, I think afterwards, that was Beaufort, I think, against Castle Island and against Ballydunho, they improved.
Yeah,
they're continuing to improve. You know, I'd agree with what Liam said, but there's one man that has just led them when they're going well or when they're going badly, and that's Paddy.
Paddy, yeah.
He's incredible. He's hard-hitting around. He's winning the dirty ball. He's dropping the shoulder. He's taking them on. He's kicking some inspirational scores. And I heard his interview with Tim Minehan afterwards. There's a focus to get back at least to where they were last year. And that's focus is
and
there.
The harder it is, the better he likes it.
Yes, exactly. No, incredible. For intercounty, we've often said about intercounty players, when they come back to the club after the season, they find it difficult to get going. Paddy certainly didn't. You know, David is starting to fire as well. He 5 points, I think, at the weekend. Yeah. But Paddy is the man that it makes him tick. And I'd agree with the lads. I think that their support cast, they're no longer support cast now. They're taking responsibility. Yeah. But this guy is driving them.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, Andrew, the semi-finals are?
So the semi-finals, Glenbeck and Carr versus Aston Stacks next Sunday at 2 o'clock in Fitzgerald Stadium, and at 4 o'clock that day in Fitzgerald Stadium, Long Rangers versus Fossa.
What we'll do is we'll take a break, and when we come back from a break, we'll preview that, and then we'll talk Premier Junior. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, some of the quick comments to go through. Was at the game yesterday in Mount Hawk Park and could not be prouder of the team, especially goalkeeper Aaron O'Sullivan. He was truly immense. Don, I saw you tweeting about the Kerry under 17s yesterday. What an achievement for them, truly historic. Maybe you could do a Terrace Talk with them. You never know, maybe we could. Great commentary from John Drummy and Ramona yesterday. Great Edge of the Seat stuff. That's from Mary O'Callaghan and Abby Dorney. Hi, Don. It was disappointing out in penalties, but Kerry FC are making great progress, you know, in their second season. Great commentary by John and Ramona. From Charles. Hi, Donald. Delighted to hear Liam Brosnan mention Mark O'Shea. In the last couple of seasons, he's been outstanding for Dr. Crokes. I would love to see him get a proper chance with Kerry. That's John Dwyer up the road there in Mallow. And a big well done to our namesake, Amy Harrington, who had the Brendan Martin Cup in Kimmare on Thursday and visited premises and businesses, places with him. That's Dermot and Margaret and below there in two assists. We haven't seen you here in a while, and it's great for you to be tuned in. And I'll leave the next comment for later, maybe. Okay, it's about John Kennedy there, but we'll get to John about that one. And one more, just we'll mention, because it's been sent in twice. Donal, I read in one of the newspapers online that there was only 1,110 people in attendance at Mount Hawk Park yesterday. I thought it would be a lot more, considering what was at stake. What a performance by Kerry. Well done to them all. I suppose, listener, the thing about the attendance is that with the FAI, it's a fixed attendance.
Oh, they can take,
they could be probably a lot more if there was tickets available, but it's down to that and the licensing. So I'd imagine it was sold out all the same. But yes, I hear your point. Let's go quickly to the Premier Junior.
So yeah, in Group 1, Ardfort and Fireys have advanced in after round 2. There'll be dead rubber games next week just to settle out who comes first and second in that. Over to Group 2, St. Sennans and Ballymac have advanced, and two teams probably will be happy with their group stage. Even Ballymac had a tough test versus Renard in the first day out, but they have progressed. On to Group 3, Convincing Kiel have joined Annascaul in the quarterfinals, and onto Group 4, Pat's Blennerville don't do enough to progress, although beating Castle Gregory. Castle Gregory's win over Coro was crucial to them progressing, so they'll join Coro, who have been very impressive after their opening day last, and they've topped the group. It's the question, can they go straight back up?
Yeah, and of course there's no draw being made for that for quarterfinals yet, because there's one group behind the rest of the groups, and that's the Ardfert, Fireys, Brusta and Ballyduff group, with only two games played, where all the rest of them have three games played. In a group, John Kennedy, with Ardfert, Fireys, Brusna and Ballyduff, are you really surprised that Ardfert and Fireys is hitting the pace?
Not really. Ardfert are always a difficult team. You know, they have grit and determination. They have football, and you know, even with Rob Monaghan gone, like, you know, they're always difficult to beat when it comes to championship. Fireys, you know, they have shot of players. You know, big squad, a lot of talent. Lot of young talent, and not a surprise to see them coming out of the group either.
Yeah, and it's a good step from them, because I mean they won the junior actually a couple of years ago. Now they're getting out of the Premier Junior, and they're in the top eight, and which is huge. Brusna and Ballyduff, they'll have a game. I suppose whoever loses is going to be at the bottom of the group, and more questions there. Group B, Liam, Ballymac top it with 6 points. St. Sennans have 4. Churchill have 2, and Renard at the bottom of the group, last year's champions, of course, from the junior. So it does prove to show you that the step in the grade is a big step. You know, when you come up and beat Tarbert and everybody thinks you're flying, and then all of a sudden you hit Churchill, St. Sennans and Ballymac. That was some game between Ballymac and St. Sennans at the weekend.
It was a powerful game. Yeah. All right, two very good teams. St. Sennans going in with an unbeaten record all year, and coming across, I suppose, everyone's favourites really, Ballymac. Anyone you ask, Ballymac is the tip of everyone's tongue. After last year in the final, they were very disappointed, and they're aiming to get back there again, and they seem to be very impressive. Look, they're playing Division 1 football as well, so they're playing a high standard of football all year, so you'd be expecting them to get back there. But with the teams that are left, you know, there's a lot of little hidden caves there yet for other teams. No, I wouldn't fancy it.
And the draw's not made yet,
and the draw's not made yet.
So I'd be planning. Only thing about Ballymac, I mean, their points difference after their three wins is only 14 points. It's at the lower end, so they're not murdering
teams.
They're
not scoring teams. Highs against teams.
They're just doing enough to get away, so that's probably something to be looked at. The other group, Group C, Kiel, John Kennedy, with 3 wins, 6 points. Annascaul, 2 wins on 4 points. Pearson and Gidrumma have that one win, which gives them 2. And Listroy at the bottom. Kiel have been kind of a team that always had good players, good forwards, maybe not enough at certain times. They, of course, went on an All-Ireland run as well. There's something building back there, is there?
Yeah, they're consistent. 3 wins over the 3, top the group, and, you know, building nicely. A well-structured outfit, and a lot of young guys as well. You know, they'll be happy.
Keith Evans, John, is another fella that's moving well.
Keith Evans, and you know, they're a team that in the draw nobody like to get them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be difficult to beat. Likewise, on a Scull team that were up at intermediate and bordering and senior, lost a lot of players in transition, but you know, qualified as well, and you know, an important step for the Enniscorthy club, because great work going back in down there, like, and you know, they're there in merit. But Drummond and Listroy, you know, Drummond lost a lot of players, and Listroy, you know, they haven't really the final against Fossa.
It kind of put them back, all right.
It did put them back, but they'll bounce back as well. Very pro club, but Kiel and Annascaul, they've been the two best teams in that.
Yeah, to think that that game went to extra time. Listroy at the bottom of Group C in Premier Junior, and Fossa are on their way to possibly an intermediate final, George.
Just shows how competitive club football is in Kerry.
It was, a real sliding doors moment, maybe. Talk about a sliding doors moment. Cora, 3 games, 4 points. Castle Gregory, 3 games, 4 points. St. Pat's Blenerville, 3 games, 4 points. And Waterville didn't register a win. And as Andrew said, due to scoring difference, because all four teams ended up on the same points, Cora, with their huge scoring difference of 13, topped the group. Castle Gregory, with their scoring difference of 4, do enough to beat St. Pat's Blenerville with two extra points somewhere along the way, or two wides that went wide, would have made a difference. Is this important for the likes of Cora to get out on top? Because you're already saying that if you're out on top now, you're not going to meet Keel, you're not going to meet Ballymac, and we'll have to find out who's going to top the group between Ardfert and Fieries. Could be either two of them. But I mean, it's giving them maybe a possible easier quarterfinal.
Well, there's nothing easy with any teams that are left, but it probably gives you a home quarterfinal then as well.
Yeah,
you know, which is important.
You'll pack the stand that night, will you?
We'll pack our Cora now. But no, it was a funny old group, because we saw Castle Gregory the first game, and now they really put Cora to the sword.
Yeah.
No, and then Castle went back to Waterville, and they struggled enough back there looking at the result, and then St. Pat's to turn them the weekend. No, so Castle were kind of after fading, and other teams were picking it up. But yeah, Cora would be very happy with it, because look, they were after coming off a poor county league campaign. You know, they put their heads down for a couple of weeks, and they put in that little bit of extra work, and it's paying off. And it just shows that championship is a different animal, really, John, isn't it? When teams go at it, the mindset is different, and they have a go at it.
Okay, let's have a go at the junior championship. Quarterfinal draw has been made. Let's go through the quarterfinal draw, maybe.
So this Saturday at 5 o'clock, Dua face Cremon at home, and Cordell face Lisbol Cordell at home there. Then Sunday at 2 o'clock, Knocknagoshal are home to your St. Michael's Foymore, and meanwhile at the same time, Skelligrangers versus Tarbert.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to run through those groups, of course, Dua topped their group with 5 points, and Michael's Foymore with 4, getting a vital draw, I suppose, at the end of yesterday.
Road that game done.
Well, you know, if you have to run the test.
We can't take the South Curry man out of the week, though.
Bale 3 points in Scotty Glen with nothing. And at the other group, Cordell with 4, Tarbert with 4, doing enough to see off My Van with 3, and Kilgarvan with 1. Skelligrangers topped their group with 3 wins, which is strange enough, because they're the only team in the whole competition that won 3 games in that. So that tells you how tight these games are. So to think that they're the only team with 3 wins. Cremon with their 4 points, doing well yesterday. Finuig with 2 points, and Asti at the bottom. And then you have Knocknagoshal again with 5 points, Lisbol with 3, and Steam Derrynane and Valentia Young Islanders with 2 each, very tight at the bottom. And actually, Steam Derrynane finish ahead of Valentia Young Islanders based on scoring difference there, minus 7, minus 4, very tight on that one. And of course, I got a text in, of course, Donald Damien Kelly with the big goal that helped St. Michael's Foymore to a draw in the quarterfinals. Damien was one of 3 starting St. Michael's Foymore players in the Kerry minor team of 2009. Oh God, if we only had the manager.
A one-on-one interview.
Can you name the other 2 players? Now, I thought there was 3 more players, but the texter says 3. Can you name them, John Kennedy?
Mark Griffin, anyway.
But he was the non-starting one of the other 2.
What was the other one? That's a good question.
God, there was 2. I'll give you 1, Max Tymon, and you won't get, okay? He's over in Barcelona. Right, he was a fantastic player.
He was a good footballer. Yeah.
Another very good footballer who got married at the weekend.
Jack.
Or was it Keane, or was it Ian?
Jack.
I don't know, was it Keane or Ian that got married at the weekend? I think it was Ian that got married at the weekend. But there we had Jackson, of course, on the team. Shane Carroll played in that team. Jack Sherwood played in that team.
That's right.
Paul Sullivan Churchill.
Yeah.
I think he was in goal. He made a couple of fantastic saves. He lost the game to Armagh in the semi-final. I remember that. Here's a question for you, okay? There was one player from that Armagh minor team that day, that won an All-Ireland this year.
Good question.
It's a very good question.
It's a good question, yeah.
And he wasn't the man of the match, because that day the man of the match was Gavin McParland. He scored 2 goals for Armagh, the 2 goals that mattered. Armagh went on to, believe it or not, win the All-Ireland that year. They beat Mayo.
Yeah.
Won Rory Grogan. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Fine player too, actually.
So, Damien Kelly, who's scoring goals for Foymore in the Junior Championship, still... And you have Rory Gorgon winning All Ireland. All thanks to John Kennedy. Fair play to you, John. Good stuff. Come here. We have 2 minutes. There's a lot of, I won't say hope out there, because it's not hope, but there are a lot more people expressing that they're enjoying the football, they're enjoying the matches, they're enjoying the scoring, they enjoy the way the game's been played. This has been a good club championship, John.
Yeah, no doubt, in all the divisions, intermediate, junior, premier and junior, very competitive games, most of them. Teams prepare, but I think the senior club is really superb. Yeah. You know, there was great games. The intermediate is so competitive, but it shows the structures in Kerry. You know, teams are finding their own level. Very difficult to predict games, and you know, great football being played, and like Liam said earlier on, attacking football. It doesn't mean that the defences are wide open. There is certainly defensive play and negative play.
Their structures more
their
than
structures,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the preparation, you can see it, the levels of fitness, the athleticism in the teams, and you know, any of the games we've been at or seen, you know, they've been top class. And as well as that, I think the standard refereeing, to be fair, some excellent displays. And the best you could say about a ref is when they're not conspicuous.
We're not talking about them after.
You know, fantastic stuff. And you know, we're looking forward to some great games in the final stages of all the competitions.
Mm-hmm. Call that senior final for me.
That's a tough one to call. No.
50-50 chance in you.
I'll go with Crokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Crokes.
Yeah, I'll go with Crokes. You know, I think that they'll be very difficult.
Well, would you not know, like, I mean, if you were proper politicians, though,
I think Crokes, they're just a little bit of boys. I think after losing the first round, I think they'll, with the boys back now as well, I think there's a bit of an edge to them.
The only thing I'll say is that the form of the game is...
Yeah, they'll take some
and Tom Sullivan's participation is going to be crucial. How he is, if it is a hamstring, like we're led to believe. But the Gainies are playing incredible stuff, led by Paul. We spoke about Paddy Clifford earlier on, but Paul Gainie is orchestrating, and he's a defender, he's a midfielder, and he's an attacker for them. He's playing some great stuff.
Top scorer.
So you're nailing the Crokes, yeah?
We're nailing the Crokes, yeah.
I'll go with Dingle so on that one. I said we have to walk through Garrison to get home. The semi-finals of the intermediates.
Glenbeigh Stack. We were talking two very close games here, but I'll be going for Stacks over Glenbeigh, and I'll go for Fossa just about over Long Rangers.
Right, okay.
I'd be going the same. I go for Fossa and Stacks, but the Stacks game is a tricky one because it's the third time they've played Glenbeigh
have come out.
Glenbeigh won the county league. Stacks won the last day, but how interested were Glenbeigh in that last group game?
Yeah.
Well, they gave up 3 goals in absolutely no time whatsoever. I mean, and they didn't leave Beaufort score for 20 minutes. So I'd imagine they were probably switch on. I have to back Lone Rangers, obviously.
We'll stick with
Lone Rangers. They've been looking. And because Glenbeigh were the lucky dip last time, I'll stay with them as well. And, you know, either way, I mean, any one of those four teams, can they handle senior football?
I think they can.
Senior
football is now at the moment. They'll be, they're no slouches any team. And I think the two games for people who want to go out and play football or watch football next weekend, I think we will be in for two very good games now next Sunday.
Okay. Finally, Andrew, the highlight of the weekend for most people was David Clifford's kind of scissors kick, was it?
Yeah, that went viral on Twitter. I think Pakash Healy posted that. He was at the game himself. I was actually on the other side of the field, so I actually didn't spot it. But
a lot of people didn't realise how good it was until they saw it up on social media, basically.
Until I saw it back, and I'm sure Rian Collarn is thankful that he scored the point after, because it went all over Twitter, and it's just another moment of David Clifford brilliance, really. That
it was the core of blood made sure he scored. Like a young Liam Brosnan years ago. It's something. The scissors kicked the ball back to you, Liam, at 150 miles an hour. Would you be able to catch it?
I'd be able to catch it. I'd probably run off like a lunatic with it.
good stuff guys. Listen, thanks very much, Liam Brosnan, John Kennedy and Andrew Moynihan. We will chat to you over the next coming weeks as well. As we wind up after break, of course, we're going to be talking to Mary B. Tehan about rowing, of course, the All-Ireland, and we have the Ballyduff, the County Minor Hurling Champions, in from 7:30.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now, the All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships come to Kerry with Dingle the venue for the 2024 All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships finals, with 550 crews looking for All-Ireland titles across a load of different grades and sections, I'd imagine. With the action, of course, getting underway next Friday, the 23rd, and of course, there'll be action on Saturday and Sunday. And just as I was reading out that weather forecast, and we're talking about westerly winds and east moving moderate later, I says, Jesus, Mary B. Teen certainly will understand that more than I will. Are you one for listening to the weather forecast, Mary?
My head is done in from listening to the weather forecast. if I got a euro for everybody, oh my God, we see the forecast for next, you know, as in this week, because we had two regattas at the weekend, and of course it was the topic of conversation. Look, it's a huge undertaking, and the one element we cannot control is the weather. Mm-hmm. It's changing all the time. I'm hoping it's going to blow in the next couple of days and have the worst behind us by Friday, because like, it's a huge undertaking. As you can imagine, Donal, we're all volunteers. Everybody that's coming, there's men coming from Donegal and Wexford tonight to start on the course for the rest of the week. There's men that have given up a week's holidays. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that make this happen, and we have to prepare as if the weather element of it is the one element we can't control, and we just hope everything will work out on the weekend. Like anybody that's doing an outside event, it's the one element you can't control, but it's looking good. It's looking like it's clearing away Friday and Saturday and Sunday. That's very manageable. So, whatever the circumstances are, Donal, we'll keep everybody safe. Number one, that's paramount. Yes. Obviously, we have kids from 10 to masters and a new category called the Legends this year, who are people in their 60s, and everybody matters to us. And that's our job, make sure that they're safe. An enjoyable weekend. And look, it's the big one, Donal. It's the end of the season. It's where the coastal communities right around the island of Ireland come together. This is my 30th year being involved. I love going to the All-Ireland. It's the big weekend in the year. Organising team behind the All-Ireland is another headache and another challenge, but look, you have to be passionate. It's not just Mary B, it's the whole team that comes in behind this, and whether we're in Antrim or we're in Donegal or Dublin or Wexford or Cork or Wicklow, but this year, thank God, as a Kerry woman, we're in Kerry, and Dingle is a stunning, stunning venue. And it's amazing. It's just one of those really special coastal areas you come into, and the minute you come into Dingle, you come into the harbour, you just get that sense we've arrived, you know. Yeah. And
it really is an All-Ireland venue, isn't it? I mean, it there is that wow factor as you, after driving all the road back, and you're crawling back with your boat or maybe a couple of boats and the crew on the back, and hoping something won't take the wing off you or something like that. But you finally get to Dingle and you see the coast I suppose the whole lot. You have a lot of work done before, because I noticed there at the weekend, the lane draws completed already maybe for some of the competitions.
That's right. So the entries have to be in by a certain date early in August. Then I went to St. Patrick's Rowing Club up in the East Link bridge there, just near the point in Dublin, and we had the lane draws. So we know how many heats we have, we know how many finals we have, we know who the lanes are. Basically, the race order is decided. That's a big challenge, to put the race order together to make sure, you know, everybody is accounted. They get, you know, they have a good idea of what to expect each day. So yeah, so the administration side of it is done. The clubs know the race order. Look, when we announced this last October, Donal, the phones were hopping in Dingle. Mm-hmm. The accommodation was flowing in. There's Northern Ireland clubs coming down on Thursday, and they won't go away till Monday. The spend of this in and around the Kerry area is fantastic. It's a great boost at the end of the season. Obviously, we had it in Dingle as well last year. It won't be in Kerry next year, Donal, I can confirm that. But it's in Kerry this year. And it's huge. It's a big logistics. We have clubs with 130 to 150 members, their families, their partners, their husbands, their wives. They're all coming. You cannot get a bed in Dingle this weekend, because mm-hmm. it has been booked since last October. So they know the race order. They've all been competing locally, as you're well aware, Donal, as a South Kerry man. We had 8 wooden boat regattas. We had a couple of one design regattas this year. And everything is preparing us for the All-Ireland this weekend.
And of course you're coming off the back of your county finals, well run, and well congratulations to Flesk Valley. I saw Cullum O'Sullivan there yesterday standing in the middle of the water like one he could.
It was stunning. Look, Flesk Valley is a new venue. We went in there for the first time last year. We have been embraced by the Killarney clubs. They've been amazing. They have been on the journey with us for the last 15 or 16 years. We had a new club with us this year, St. Brendan's. Lovely to see St. Brendan's down there. It was fantastic to see everybody working together, the camaraderie, the sportsmanship. I suppose everything's left in the water, Donal. You want to obviously perform, and no doubt, and that's what I love about the Kerry Coastal Gang. They would eat you alive on the water because they want to get ahead of you on the winning and the winning. But when it comes to the All Ireland, they all get behind each other. You know, obviously it's very competitive, but I've a broken oar, could you give us a hand with lifting a boat? That's what sportsmanship is about. And when you see kids watching on and they're seeing all that, that's what we're trying to instill into the next generation, to have the love and the passion for what we do every year. And we come back to it every year, Donald. It's coastal rowing at its best. It's summer sport. It's April to September, and we love it.
Yeah, and of course we're talking about now as a sport, but I mean, obviously, I suppose back in the day, it was a job first of all, and then it became a pastime, and then it became kind of maybe an organised sport, and South Kerry were doing their thing, and Mid Kerry were doing their thing, and they kind of joined. And now, like you said, you have the Killarney aspect to it. It's really become a county-wide event, hasn't it?
It has. I suppose way back in 93, I was a rower. I was one of many of the Lady Rowers. And I remember Johnny Reedy in Valencia was one of the first men to listen to us in South Kerry and say, we need more races for women and females in the sport. And it progressed from there. And then in 1992, Irish Coastal Rowing was born, and it was put together in Killarney. And they came from Wicklow, and they came from Antrim, and they came from Cork, and they came from all over, and they said, we need to put an organisation together for coastal rowing. And that's where it was born. And basically, it has grown into what we have today. Now, there is politics in it, don't get me wrong. We have a small fragmentation of a small number of clubs that have gone with Rowing Ireland, and that's fine. That's their prerogative, that's what they can do. But the Irish Coastal Rowing Federation has not changed its colours. It's for the coastal communities, coastal rowing at its best, but more importantly, it's showcasing. There's a seat at the table for every type of coastal rowing. Everybody's invited to come, but only if we get the required number of boats to row a class in the All-Ireland. As you can see from our schedule, Donal, we have 71 races on this.
I'm looking at here, it's absolutely amazing, because it's funny, I can remember back to Johnny Reedy's time where there'd be regatta and there'd be just minors, there'd be just seniors, there'd be just ladies, and then everybody turned up for the same boat. That was like the big senior final, and that was it, and you all kind of went home after. And then of course I can remember Valencia being kind of the first big kind of home All-Ireland, we'll say, and all of a sudden clubs were training under 14 kids and under 16 kids, and it kind of maybe mushroomed out. But to look at it now, you have Heritage, you have Legends, you have Sprint races, you have Mixed, which is very, very popular. You have under 12 beginners, you have veterans, and like you said, the Legends are 6 years old. So, I mean, there's a lifetime of family in this as well. I mean, there's generations of people who are now rowing senior, who their kids are rowing ladies, and maybe their kids are rowing under 12s.
Yeah, I'm in the privileged position of being the chairperson. I get invited to dinner dances and awards, and I was at Mayor Ross there last Sunday week. They were 100 years old, and you go into a room, and obviously I'm outside and I'm coming in, and I see the obvious. There's three generations sitting at the one table. So granddad rowed, dad rowed, now I'm rowing, and we have the same thing here in Kerry, and it's beautiful to see. It's fantastic to see the tradition brought on. And more importantly, what I love about the All-Ireland is you're meeting friends that you meet every year, whether it's the next generation or people that you rowed against yourself, and you see that, you know, it's wonderful gathering of the clan from all around, and we all go out and we're all shouting for our own club, don't get me wrong, and you really want them to do their best. But then you love to see mom and dad getting into boats, the kids are getting into boats, and now there's the older generation getting into boats. It's unbelievable to think that in the Masters, which is over 50, Donal, there's 57 crews of them coming down.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
It's fantastic.
And all of them are rowers, aren't they?
They are.
They're all competitive people.
Very, very experienced. Yeah, they're very, very experienced rowers. And then you know, like to see the under 12. I mean, you were to any of the South Kerry regattas this year, it's the biggest race of the day to see 12 and 14 boats out in the water for under 12. I mean, I'm going to regattas with 30 years in South Kerry. Love the scene, love the tradition, love our same boat, love the fours. It was the biggest following I've seen in many years this year.
Yeah.
To see, the, like, go back to Carserene Regatta, the first regatta. People were looking, saying, Jesus, Mary, what's going on? Look at all the people at this regatta. I've never seen this regatta this big in years. And I'm saying, I know, I was gobsmacked myself to see it. It was fantastic to see the crowds following the regatta this year. And then, obviously, having the All-Ireland, having Dingle's in the heritage classes. The Naboe is their passion back in the Dingle classes, and we respect that. And that's their love and that's their passion. But to see them come into the heritage, and they did very well in the heritage last year, and Peter O'Regan has a beautiful four-oar. If you remember him back in the 90s rowing down in Valencia and Carserene, he was there against the Costigos and Killargan.
That's right. So,
you know, I mean, there's amazing history, and to see him out last year, and he was over the boat to be taking his boat out, to be out in the heritage classes, just against the St. Patrick's in Dublin, who are the East Coast Gifts, and all the other boats that came in to those races, as well as our One Design, as well as our Seine boats. So look, it's a wonderful feast of coastal rowing at its best, and there's, you know, there's clubs coming there. We're up 7 clubs on last year, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah,
so it's fantastic.
And of course you're on both generations. Of course my grandnieces are rowing with Sive. I think they came home with a medal at under 12s, may I add. And you are right. I mean, when you can bring kids back in at 12, and then it goes down to the fact that a lot of people talk about the sport, they're saying, look, you're on the water and the whole lot, but like you said at the very start, I mean, safety is key.
Yes, it is, of course. And, you know, we have a life jacket drill. They all have to go through that. There's safety boats at our regattas. You're very experienced coxes going out there now. Everybody is very, very aware. It's in a very controlled space too, Donald, from the point of view that, like, say for the All-Ireland, for example, it's 14 lanes. They're 6 fathoms apart. And it's a 750 to the second buoy, a 400 to the first buoy, and we stay within that rectangle. There's safety boats around them. There's commentary boats there. There's course boats there. So they're well marshaled up and down. They're well looked after. You know, we've all the your civil defence. You know, we've a wonderful group of people that come in to help us carry off the logistics to make sure everybody is safe and sound over the weekend, and they go up the road, or they go across the county bounds, or they go home, and they're back to school next week.
So, I know.
It's the end of the summer. That's the way. You know, obviously, we've one more big event in South Kerry, the women's same boat on the 7th of September. I have to give that a plug. But it's the end of the season, and it's been a long season, and it's been a wonderful season, and it's been, you know, fantastic interest. I think the fact that the All-Ireland is in Kerry has piqued the interest even more this year, and you know, people that were kind of half thinking of retiring say, oh, I'll give it another year, you know, and then you have the new generation saying, oh my god, the All-Ireland's come to Dingle, so definitely. And then you go into Fleth Valley yesterday and you see, I think, what was in there yesterday, 20 crews of under 12.
Massive.
I mean, we'd have heat and they had to be up against the clock.
You needed a bigger lake nearly.
Oh my god, it was fantastic. And then to see all the grannies and the moms and the dads and all the chairs out, and they're watching, and the kids in and out, and everybody getting in and out of boats and helping each other. That's what it's all about, Donal. I mean, at the end of the day, we're an island nation, we're not short of water, and it's about carrying on tradition and keeping it going. And we're very, very blessed that there is wonderful work done in the clubs. I mean, you're around football and South Kerry and Mid Kerry as long as as you can remember. Patrick Shea is still in time. Dermot Walsh is still in Valencia. John J. Sullivan's in Califerty. Those personalities are still the godfathers of their clubs, and they're driving it on and keeping it going and keeping the flag flying for coastal rowing in the communities all around South Mid Kerry. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And of course, I have to mention Killarney, all the clubs doing their hard work as well. I don't want to leave anybody out.
I it's like a Rosa Tralee speech, but you have to tick all the boxes.
I have to be politically correct as well. But at the end of the day, I'm a Kerry woman. I'm very proud to be a Kerry woman with a Kerry All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championship happening in our own county. Tarbert needing a very special mention. They're up there on the Mount of the Shannon. They've started a club. They've invested in 2 boats, and they're doing wonderful, and they'll be getting stronger and stronger as the years go on. And look, that's what it's all about. Is whether you have one crew, or as some clubs have 40-something crews, everybody matters, yeah, and everybody is doing their best. And, you know, and we're just hoping to have good weather, Donal, calm water, great competition, and everybody having a great time. And I have to say, last year on the Sunday night, when the cup finals were all over, the camaraderie and the fun we had on the Sunday night in Dingle, it was like a mini puck.
Yeah. Well, I hope next week, okay, when we have won numerous All-Irelands, and even if we don't, maybe people that compete in the whole lot, I do hope to have the second hour Terrace Talk between 7 and 8, just talking to crews and the experience and the clubs and the whole lot, if they join us. And we'll give that opening. Because I went down to South Kerry last year to find them. They all gathered in the room, they all told me their stories, but it'd be great to bring them into studio and the whole lot, and maybe spread it out with kind of north, south, and hopefully, you know, the tar of the world and the Clarnies of the world as well. But come here, very briefly, and we'll finish up, because my producer who's actually on his holidays because he got married the weekend, congratulations Ivan. He's enjoying himself over in the lake around Clarnie as well. But action gets underway on the 23rd, which is Friday, from 1 o'clock. The first race, there's 17 races on the card, so that's a lot of races. Some heat, some finals. Saturday it starts very early at 8 a.m. but again you have 29 races, ending with the same boat men's final, which is a big one. The 800 metre sprint final, I'd imagine that's an epic enough race. I'd imagine it's a flat out race.
There's wonderful races there. I suppose I have to give a mention as well. We will be having our opening ceremony in the middle of Friday's action. Minister Norma Foley has, I'm delighted to say, is going to come and do the opening at 4:30. And there's races before and after. There's the wooden boats, there's Cisa boats, and there's one design racing on Friday. There's heats and finals Saturday and Sunday. Roughly three races an hour as a rule of thumb is what we get through in Dingle. My job is to basically make sure that happens so that we're finished in the evening at a reasonable time, around 5:30. The same boat on Saturday evening is a very special finish to the evening, Donal, and obviously big interest from South Mid Kerry when we have our local same boats going back to Dingle, and the Dingle locals absolutely adore that race. They come out of the woodwork for that race, to see that race and to see 13 men in a boat take each other on. It's just a wonderful, wonderful sight. I don't need to sell that. It sells itself. It's a magical race to watch. And of course, the women will be doing it on Sunday evening to finish off the All-Ireland Kerry style. So really looking forward to having a wonderful, wonderful All-Ireland, and wishing all the Kerry Coastal clubs, of course, the very best. And we'll be delighted to welcome all the travelling clubs from all around the country. They're coming from Antrim, Down, Louth, Dublin, Wicklow, Wexford, Cork, Clare, Galway. So we're thrilled to have them, yeah.
You can't do no more than that, no, Mary. You put the child of Prague out now, it'll be your last act there, maybe.
You do that too for us, Donna, because we need it.
I'll read the weather out for you, okay? I wonder if I can figure out what it is. We'll take a quick break. Right. Thanks, Mary.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, delighted to be joined by the Ballyduff Miners. Not all of them in here, just two of them and two of their management team. Delighted to have John Curtin, of course, and Gavin Murphy. And of course, we're going to look back, of course, at the Keane's Super Value Minor County Hurling Championship Final, of which Ballyduff won. Congratulations, boys.
Thanks very much.
We were told you were quiet, fellas. Yeah. You do all your hurling on the pitch kind of job, is it?
We do.
Yeah. Gavin, congratulations. You got to lift the cup after, I suppose, maybe three unsuccessful bids or two unsuccessful bids. This is the third time lucky, is it?
Yeah.
Did you know that going into the final, do people talk about things like that in Ballyduff about, oh, we lost last year, we lost the year before, or is this just a new group of players and off you go?
Well, most of us are there now, which, like, last year in the final we lost, and some of them are new this year. But we were kind of talking about ourselves, like, and we kind of knew that we kind of had to win it, like we wanted to win it. So.
Yeah. Talk about very briefly last year losing it, because I want to jump from maybe that losing and coming off the field to come around 12 months later. Was that bitterly disappointing as young fellas, or do you kind of walk off the field and say, you're sure that's grand?
Well, it was very disappointing. Like, I think it was my second year playing minor there, or my first year. Mm-hmm. Can't remember, but it was very disappointing losing it, like. But yeah.
And when you come back then this year, because you're on a massive roll this year, you won the league, you won the championship, I mean, you're absolutely flying. What changes in between? Or do you just kind of find a winning formula and, you know, things seem to work and different players step up?
Find a winning formula and keep going.
Yeah. Do players change over the year as well? I mean, do you get bigger and stronger and faster and fitter and the whole lot, and maybe the skill level comes on and maybe they're fellas that were quite fellas last year, maybe they're doing a bit more talking now and they're a bit more leader. Can you see that as a captain?
Oh, definitely, yeah. The boys coaching us there now, like, they'll keep us in shape and stuff, so.
Yeah. They're doing a lot of giving out to you, do they?
Definitely.
Good stuff. Gavin, what was it like going up getting the cup at the end of it?
I was very nervous in a... I'm not a very good talker now, like, and...
We'll knock that out of you down in 20 minutes. You'll be all right. We'll give you a good training. Come here, the man beside you was man the match.
He was.
Was he man the match?
He deserved it, right.
He was pretty good stuff, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. A fullback and a centre-back, it kind of tells you that, you know, it was a tough game, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely was.
What do you think?
Yeah, it was a very tough game. But sure, we knew going into Croatia, it would give us every sort of a hammering. They come from every angle. Just the last few years now, I'd be a year younger than Gavin, and like, I was failed last year and all that. Croatia were always the top dogs in every age group, so I'd have loads of battles with him.
Yeah. And is it nice going into a final? I mean, obviously you play your games, you get there the whole lot, and you get into a final, and then maybe the village are talking about, God, you're in the final, lads, and the whole lot, and then they might be talking about, well, we didn't win that other one, but this is kind of important. Are you kind of conscious of that going into a final like that, or is it just a minor final and you just want to win it for yourselves?
Yeah, I take no notice of what other people are saying. I just think it's another game to win, like, and especially the fact that finally we'd want to win it, like,
yeah.
Especially with the heartbreaks 2 years before, like, because we'd be expecting them ones, but I think this year we just went in wanting to win it and we don't have to think that.
Yeah. Kevin O'Carroll, if that wasn't a belly duff answer, huh?
Yeah.
How proud are you of this group? Obviously, I mean, you were there last year as well. I mean, you I suppose, experienced the hardship, I suppose, and the disappointment as well. But to turn that around within 12 months, to go from there to here.
Yeah, it was great, really. Like, I remember a few of the players coming up to me last year after we lost, and they said, we'll be back next year and we'll win it. They knew, like, we had to put in a great effort, which the boys did, to be fair, like. But we had to put the head down from January and power on.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult with minors because obviously I'd imagine Ballyduff, you're a dual club, you have the football side of things and the whole lot. There's a lot of balancing to get something perfect at the end, is there?
It's trying to get nights for training, and with the football and the hurling and everything, games, it's hard enough, but sure, it's all part of it. Yeah. Ballyduff, really, like.
You're kind of experienced at that. I mean, it's not a new problem for you, or it's not an issue. I mean, you know how to work it out, and you know how to balance it out, and you know how to get to the other end.
We do some years better than others, I suppose, but you just, you know, from the start of the year, you just, once you get to competitions, you try and plan around it, like, and you go for the number one competition, and after that, everything else is a bonus, like.
And you brought in the free-taking expert with you, Podge. How delighted are you, Podge? I mean, it must be different for you to be on the sideline, not having an impact of, obviously, you want to play, I suppose, at every level, the whole lot, but now you step back and you kind of entrust the younger generation to do what you've been trained to do and the whole lot. How proud are you of the achievement?
Yeah, super proud. Like you said there, like, getting involved with them there, it's a joy. Like, it's different than playing, and I really enjoyed the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the coaching part of it. Yeah,
yeah. The coaching part of it for you, I mean, obviously imparting the knowledge and the whole lot. But can you, maybe, I suppose, from your own career, can you kind of spot little mistakes and little things that you like to tweak with different players and the whole lot? And maybe that's a strength in itself.
Yeah, you'll be trying to help them every way you can. Like they're just like you can't really fault them.
Yeah,
they're training now, you know, you'll be trying to kill them half the time, but they're very good young fellas, like, they'll always listen to you and they'll always take it on board. But really happy with them.
Yeah. The game itself, Kevin, if there was an easier way to win a final, I'd imagine you should have found it that way. But I mean, you were put to the pin of your collar a couple of times.
We knew it was going to be very tough.
Yeah.
From the very start, like, we were going to get nothing off Croatia. They're a great team. Like, Jerome has done great stuff with them, and I suppose we were against the wind in the first half. It was always going to be a battle, like, but I knew from the county league final that we would have a good second half, and we would have enough to come back and win it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was great, like.
It's funny because I was going back over doing. I'll be honest with you, I'm from South Kerry, lads. I don't know much about hurling, okay? But I was doing my research, okay? You've been in the last 6 finals at this level. Yeah. I mean, that means you're producing players at 13, 14, 15, the whole lot, that you can keep getting back to the top of the country. You're not winning them all, but getting to the final is the first step.
Oh, yeah, there's great stuff being done in Ballyduff, like, with the underage. Like, there's some great coaches out there, like, there's people out there love their hurling and their football, like, so. if you go out to the field any night, it's probably the busiest field in Kerry. Like,
yeah, but it's hard for minors, because minors is an age group where you might have one golden age group of kids. But I mean, to be in six county finals, at regardless of what it is, I mean, it hasn't been replicated in football, for instance, that no team has got to six finals. Now, as I said, you've won three of the six of them, so you've been fair enough. You've given a few away as well, I suppose, at different times. Gavin, is this your first medal?
Yeah, this is my first minor medal now.
Have you a chance of another one?
No, this is my last year minor now.
Okay, so this was the last dance.
Yeah.
Is that kind of sad when you're leaving that room? Because obviously you have a lot of players with you that might have another year out and the whole lot. Or do you think that, or is it more special for you knowing that I've only had that last 1 year left, I didn't win it before, this means so much to me?
I was hoping for another year of it, like, but sure, I can't, but it was definitely a good way to end it, like.
Yeah, you won in the pocket anyway, so it's all right. How about you, Mr. Curtin?
I have another year of it. For sure, what you call it. I find it very tough now, to be honest, doing another year without all these boys, because I suppose I've been playing with them since under 8 all the way up, and I've always had 1 year with them at least, out of two, but now they're gone for the year, so I'd have to manage somehow without them.
So you're in between age groups, aren't you? I mean, you meet them 1 year and they're above you the next year and they're back the next year and the whole lot, yeah. But that's what builds a club as well, the fact that you are, I suppose, maybe rotating around in between different... But next year, I presume, your experience will be needed massively for the younger fellas coming up.
Yeah, hopefully, but sure, I'm not the only one who was on the team as well this year. We have another few in the likes, Dylan Costa and Jake Rochford. There's loads more, so we'll have loads of experience anyway for next year, and hopefully we'll bring it home again.
Jeez, you're like James McCarthy, you know, nothing worry you at all. We'll have medals won all over the place. Listen, we'll take a quick break, and after a break, we'll talk about the game itself.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're in the company of Podge Boyle, Kevin O'Carroll, John Curtin, of course, and Gavin Murphy, the victorious members, I suppose, on the Ballyduff Miners. And we're going back doing a little bit of history, of course, and off air, of course, we all nominated Podge to answer the team question anyway. What do you reckon, Gavin? He'd be the safest, would you?
I'd say he will, yeah.
He has the knowledge, I'd say, absolutely. And then, of course, the question I was going to ask means nothing now, because he's after telling me he was in the 2009 team.
I was. We lost to Kilmoyle. Yeah, disappointing. My only minor final being in.
That was my point. It is your only minor, because the point we were going to make was that you've been in the last six, but before that you weren't in 17. You had one in 17, and you had one shot at it.
And there must be better coaches around now.
Probably getting paid a lot more now, maybe, as well. But to bounce on to the thing that I was trying to get to, 2017, who won the minors?
Crota.
Fair play to you. He read the cup. Fantastic. 6 years later, what did Crota do?
Won the senior.
Fantastic. Now, have a look at the cup. Who won it in 2018?
Aberdourne.
6 years later, what happened?
Aberdourne won.
Let's have a look at the next one. 2019.
Crota.
God. Who did it beat in the final?
Ballyduff.
By 1 point. So that means that in 6 years' time, from that age group, there'll be little enough between you. But what happens in 2020 and 2021?
Bad enough.
Okay. So the future is very bright, isn't it?
Hopefully, no?
Yeah. Producing players, Kevin, has to be the starting point of keeping a senior team there. Obviously, I suppose, with the way rural clubs are, players go away and disappear and they go working and the whole lot. But at least when you're producing them and have a production line going, that's the most important thing, is it?
It is, yeah. I suppose if you have, I don't know, 8 or 9 older fellas this year, but it's trying to keep them on board for next year and the year after, like, because next year is kind of a tough year.
Yeah. It's the gap year, isn't it? I mean, it's a kind of year that...
So you're trying to find...
They might be training out the back end of the field, but there really is no kind of hurling for them, is there?
No, there isn't, especially if your senior team is strong.
Yeah.
You're just trying to find games for them to play in, like, to try and progress, but it's kind of hard enough, I suppose, that's...
And that's your challenge and the club's challenge, I suppose. It is every club's challenge, footballer-wise, to keep that kind of year in between. And that goes back to the argument then, maybe. Is minor too young, maybe?
It possibly is, like, yeah. But maybe if you had your intermediate structure good, that the boys next year might get a lot more game time in that or something.
Yeah.
Under 21s
coming up, yeah.
Yeah, because I suppose, Podge, hurling's the kind of game that you need to be playing, really. I mean, because that sharpens your skills and, you know...
Yeah, you need to be playing it the whole time. Like, it obviously is a big step up for 17-year-olds. I probably would like to see the minor go back to 18. It gives them a chance to develop a bit more, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like moving up to 18, they're still under, I suppose, the eyes of good coaches, good trainers, and there's still a lot to develop between maybe 17 and actually playing your first senior hurling game.
Yeah, like when you're 17, you're still a child, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would definitely take 2 to 3 years before you kind of make the breakthrough, maybe, unless you're very, very good. Like,
yeah. When did you walk onto the senior team? After 2009, did you?
Following year, yeah, I was 16.
Wow. Yeah. Can you remember your first game?
I do, yeah. Pedlix now.
Did you get a welcome or?
I got a welcome, all right. They take him off with a few broken bones, I'd say.
Oh, well, geez, that was a mighty welcome. That was like the stations or something. Come here, Gavin. I mean, where to now for you? I mean, you're that player in particular, I suppose, that's kind of maybe stepping up, but, you know, I mean, unless it's under 20s or whatever it is next. But, do you mean, obviously, I mean, look, hurling is a massive part of you and the culture around Ballydun. But where do you see yourself in a couple of years' time?
Definitely be playing hurling anyway, and hopefully be on the senior panel and stuff, so.
Yeah. And is that an aspiration for a lot of the minor crew when they see Ballyduff? I mean, super team, competitive at every level, always there, thereabouts at senior level, winning the cups, coming home as well. The last time they won it, did you have a big impact watching that? Can you remember them coming home and celebrating? And
I can't remember now, to be honest. It's been, how long is it since you last won it?
Oh, but geez, don't be upsetting him like that, will you?
Too long.
Yeah,
too
it's long. Been a while, Podge, hasn't it?
7 years, 17.
It's amazing how a kind of a mini drought happens fairly quickly, isn't it?
Yeah. To be honest, we've only won one in 12.
Yeah.
So that's it's a massive drought, really, for Bailiff.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully these young fellas now step up to the plate.
And have you only have won one and one?
Yeah.
And Crossair 1 and 2. God, yeah, doing the stats now, you'd be way down the back of the order. Come here, John. Hurling, tell us about your first time playing with Ballyduff. Who brought you into the field? Is there hurling in your family?
Or no, my mum's side, they'd be from out in Castlehill and in Coro and stuff like that, so they'd all be football. I think it might have been my uncle, Jersey Hoolan, who might have first introduced me to hurling. That would have been, I'd say, when I was 3 or 4, he might have gotten me my first hurley. He was about 10 inches long, I haven't a clue, anyway, but that would have been, he would have brought me to the field a good bit, then I would have went up with my father sometimes, but my mum would have... She loved me playing sports, so mm-hmm. she would have had no problem driving me down to the field whenever, so she was probably the best for it.
Yeah. There was never a fear like that I'm going to go home without my head or my arm or something, you know. It's the kind of sport that you kind of have to invest yourself in or get in fairly quickly.
Or you can't be scared, like, I suppose if you're scared, you're not really going to do much in it, like, and if you get a belt, you can just get back up from it, like, you'll be grand in oil.
I love the way he says he'll be grand. Gavin, did you get many belts that you were grand with?
Yeah, got a few of them now, right, but... We're fine now.
Talk to me about when the final whistle goes in a county final, and after all the hard work, you won the league. I suppose maybe there was a bit more pressure on you having that successful background going into the final, not winning the year before. There was loads of things for you to do, but when the final whistle went, can you remember that moment in itself?
It was just some relief knowing that we won it after losing it the last 2 years in a row, and it's just an unreal feeling, to be honest.
Were you beside, who were you beside in the field? Who was the first fella you jumped on or whoever? Or?
Actually, the first fella that came up to me was the cornerback, Evan O'Connor, ran up to me and gave me a hug and stuff, so.
Was he delighted that you had a good game at fullback, was it?
He was delighted, man.
Good stuff. How about yourself, John?
I was about 90 yards away from the Benjamins, and I just took off sprinting, ran straight up to the forward and started jumping around with him, so I had no hide, enough gas lifts in the tank, but I took off running for him, and
90 yards is some sprint, Podge, is it?
We got nervous when we see him coming.
I wouldn't know, but I never ran 90 yards before.
Come here, Kevin. I suppose the one thing about it, I mean, we're talking about building on success and the whole lot, but what's that moment after for yourselves? I mean, you know, I mean, you have your own doubts. I mean, you got to the final last year, it didn't happen for you. I'd imagine there was plenty of good neighbours giving you advice over that defeat and the whole lot. But you have to bounce back as well, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I suppose I was just more relieved than anything else, just for the final whistle to go, like, you know, just to get over the line this year. And because last year was just such a disappointment in our first year.
Yeah.
You know, we thought we were good, like, but this year we just had to do it by any means possible, really, like.
Yeah. And Pod, you bring the team home then. I mean, what's that celebration like, I suppose, with the minors? I mean, you're back in your community. I mean, everybody's delighted and happy, I presume. I mean, you've slayed Crotta, you know, the guys that have been beating you all the way through, possibly at this age group.
Yeah, like there was a massive turnout in the village for us. And the amount of older former players, we'll say, that came up and said that this was massive for the village, they want to bring something back. So it brings a good bit of a buzz around the place again. Do you want something to look forward to for the future?
Yeah,
going back to the lads there, like, they lost the Fela final 2 years ago. They Crata beat them under 16s last year. So they were kind of too good of a team to not be winning.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of set a goal at the start of the year this year to try to go every game unbeaten.
Yeah.
And they did, in fairness, no.
And you went every game unbeaten as well. And I suppose, Kevin, that's probably it. I mean, everybody says after it's only one game at a time, and it's kind of one of those well-worn phrases and the whole lot. But they're the kind of phrases that build momentum for you. I mean, you have one win, next thing you have two wins, now you have three wins. And you can win maybe over the year, you win well and you win dirty and you win hard, and you the odd time you might maybe steal a game because you're getting a bit luckier at the whole winning thing.
Yeah, like, I suppose we didn't think past the next game, like, tonight was, there was no point in thinking past the next game, like,
mm-hmm.
you just take every game as it comes and try and beat what's in front of you and pour on again, like, tonight, which they did very well, like, we'd a great turnout all year, like, and for training and everything, they put in great work, so it just paid off.
What's Podge Boy like for training, huh?
He's tough alright now, he keeps you on your toes and everything, and but it was needed, and it was definitely needed to get us over the line this year, so.
Do you get to a stage, John, where you kind of say, God, like, we've had a good bit of fun here at 13 and 14 and we kind of missed the roll maybe at 15 and the whole lot, but do you come to a stage in yourself and say to yourself, we have to get really serious here because the team are too good not to win a county final?
Yeah, 100%. But I suppose I would have started that from the first few years of fail. I would have always wanted to win. I didn't really want anything else. Like, people do be on about the participation part. I don't really enjoy that. I just like winning. So
Jesus, he really is James McCarthy, isn't he?
We're coming into the minor now this year, especially this year, as I said, like, we wanted it, and you could tell every training, maybe the start of the year we weren't as fit and sharp and stuff, but as it went down we got fitter, sharper, everything, so we deserved it this year, I believe, anyway, because we wanted it more than anyone, I think.
Mm-hmm. And is it more special when you deserve it, when you can walk off the field and say, yeah, we won that, you know, nobody gave it to us, but, you know, we took it, we won it, it's ours? Does that make the achievement a lot more, maybe?
I'd much rather a close game than, like, beating a team by 10 plus points. Like, I'd much rather be a load of competition, which there was this year. Like, every team was very good, and you could never really... So, like, when we won the semi-final, like, you'd never know, oh, we're going to be playing Crata or Parnells in the final, like, because they were two great teams as well, like, so... Once we got past the semi-final, then we were just waiting to see the turn-up between them.
Mm-hmm. One thing I was noticed there as well, Kevin, is there's a lot more teams at the minor. I mean, I saw Fieries there, I saw Tralee Parnells, obviously, and the whole lot. Does hurling have to kind of maybe spread a little bit beyond the traditional, I suppose, people say the famous eight and those? Does it need to grow maybe in other places to improve the competition, or are you still happy out beating Crata?
No, it's great. It's great that there's more teams coming up through the ranks now, like, tonight, the more the better, like,
yeah.
You can even see in the scene now, like, having 10 teams, like, it's great to have extra teams, and just more people getting involved, the more people involved the better for everyone, yeah. Really, like,
it's making the community that small bit bigger as well, and yeah. The whole lot, which is fairly important. Right, so we'll take a quick break, and after a break we'll continue our chat with Belly Duff.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, of course, the cup here in front of us is the Sean Lovett Cup, of course, and of course Sean Lovett was a great Kilmoyley man as well. And now, of course, the cup is heading back to Ballyduff, which is fantastic. The game itself, let's go through it a small bit, Gavin. For the people that weren't at it, okay, obviously a lot of football people listening this evening. At halftime, how are you set up?
Halftime, we were down by, I think it was 4 points. Mm-hmm. We're down by at halftime.
So what's that team talk at halftime like? I mean, you're coming off the field 4 points down, but you're not in a bad position, though.
No, we were like, it was against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
We were against the wind in the first half, and we're down by 4 points. We're all like, it's not too bad. We kept the heads, like, we didn't really start giving out to each other. We were keeping the heads and stuff, so it wasn't too bad.
Wasn't too bad, he says. You have to get back into the game, of course. I mean, there's no point being down 4 points at half time. I mean, who gets the scores? Who gets the ball rolling? Do you know, where's one? You have two Jakes midfield going very well.
Yeah, the two of them now, they would have been playing different positions. I think it was myself and Jake Scott who lined out in the middle of the field for the start of the second half. And all we really wanted to do was get the first ball and hit it in, but we didn't. We lost the first ball and they got it. We got it off him fast, so they didn't score off it, so that's all that matters. I think we got the first score the second half, maybe, so
yeah,
that was a good thing.
Can you remember getting back level, Gavin? Do you remember that score?
I can bear.
Barely remember.
It was from a free anyway, John Slimhier. It was from Dylan Costello, one of his frees. So
yeah, and of course you had to contend. You got your goal. You pushed ahead. I mean, with time almost up, you had 3 points of an advantage. That's an awful advantage to have with time almost up, isn't it? Definitely. Particularly in hurling. I mean, one ball in, and you can see you can hit the post and go in the back of the net. What are the nerves like at that stage, John?
Reckless. You would feel everything shaking. Like, but as well as I'd say, I think. 2 minutes left, I'd say we had 15 men down below inside the goals. I just want to say they didn't give a goal, that's all that matters, sure.
And of course he didn't give away the goal, which was fantastic, of course. And the winning team, of course, Killian Mulcahy in goal, Evan O'Connor, Gavin Murphy, of course, here with us, Adam Lynch, Jaden Condon, John Curtin, who says he's lined out there but he plays somewhere else, Reese O'Connor, Jake Seagal, Jake Rochford, Scott Sheehan, of course, Callum Carey lined out at 11, Dahi Keane Terrell was there as well, Dylan Costlow, Michael Hoolan, Sean Ross O'Gorman, and of course in the subs bench as well, and probably played Shane Murphy, Jack Enright, JJ O'Rourke, Oran Curley, Yadon Slattery, Adam Kennelly, Ben Lynch, Cahill Byrne and Fionn Byrne, and of course they were under the guidance, of course, of Kevin Carroll, of course, Podge Boyle, Mikey Boyle, Gigi brought them all along, Pat Enright was there, and of course Michael Hussey and Padraig Hussey as well. At half time, Padraig, 4 points down, you weren't in a bad place though, were you?
No, that's what I said to the boys at half time. I thought we were playing the better hurling and we just conceded two kind of sloppy goals, high balls into the square. But I just don't panic, keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully
it'll come out the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course you've been in enough dressing rooms at half time to see that speech being rolled out. So you had the experience of knowing the wind and judging the players and the whole lot. Had the players performed to how you wanted them to perform by the first half?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We were saying it was the best half of hurling we've played, and we went in down 4 points.
Wow.
We couldn't figure it out, like.
Yeah.
The brand of hurling they were playing was brilliant, like.
Yeah.
The balls into the forwards were top notch.
Yeah. An award for the opposition, obviously. I mean, a great final needs two teams. I mean, Crossy, a team that you've played over and over and again, obviously got out the right side this time. How good a team are they?
Oh, they're a very good team. Like, they have some great players there as well. Like, Jerome's young fella there, like, is a great player, but Jerome and Micheál Lynch, they were always going to have the boys well drilled, like.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was always going to be a very tough game, as we know throughout the years, like.
And when the community is so small, you don't have to look over a big ditch to know what Cross are like or how good Licks now or the whole lot. And I suppose you see them all coming through at 13 and 15 and the whole lot. But somewhere along the way, you kind of feel, we're good enough to win this. We should be doing better. When do you have those chats with yourself? Maybe at the start of this year, maybe?
Yeah, I suppose it was last year. We probably said next year, right, we'll really have to knuckle down and go for it because we know we're in with a great shout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get everything right at the start of the year, like, but you'll be just hoping and everything goes your own way, like, but we knew it was going to be tough with the rest of the teams there, like.
Yeah. Hurling in the schools?
Well, I go to a school in Ballybunion and it's not really
right, okay.
A big of a...
You're the only hurler there?
Yeah, basically.
Right, okay. Let's move on to the Castle Island. Where are we?
I got school in Causa Comprehensive, so...
Okay, so that's hurling.
Yeah, we would be. We won our first thing now this year. We won a Limerick B competition. But mm-hmm. kind of at the school now, we'd have Ty Flynn over us and he'd be drilling a lot of us as well, and there's loads of us from Ballyduff, so we'd be used to training there as well, so we get lots of play time together, so...
And is that it? Like, I mean, you're in Causeway where we'll say maybe those fellas kicking a football around Ballybunion or whatever it is, but you have the hurls out at half time, I presume, do you?
Yeah, we would, like, but there'd be football as well in Causeway. Like, they wouldn't really lean much towards one sport in Causeway. Like, we do, there'd be multiple, the basketball's getting on great as well lately, but yeah, the hurling, like, we'd always probably be leaning a tiny bit more towards that, like.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin, of course, that's the next stage of the development. I mean, you come out a minor, you need, I suppose, hurling at top levels or at the level that your school is at, because that brings you through another bit of the season.
Oh, you do. You need the schools going well there as well, like. To not, I see there isn't much club competition going on while the school's going on now, like, which is great because the schools are doing mm-hmm. more sport from when I was going to school, like. To not, there's a lot more sport now.
And I see CBS are going into the heart here.
Yeah, it's great as well. Like,
how big a jump is that for them?
Oh, it's a massive jump as well, like, you know, but it's great to be playing better opposition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of bring our own level up another bit. And all that sort of thing is good for Kerry hurling.
Podge, I mean, I presume with all the hurling, you started at 16. I won't put what you're at now, but I mean, you've been there for a while. You've seen lots of hurlers come through. I suppose you were in when the older gang were kind of there and moving out, I suppose, and the what, and they come back and support you now as well. But how important do you think it is for hurlers who kind of maybe depart the scene to get back involved again at under 13 and 15 and the whole lot, and give whatever bit of experience they have or give whatever kind of time they have back into it?
Yeah, it's very important, like, because, like, you can't beat experience and the knowledge of what you've been through. So, like, and there has been a lot of coaches in my life, they're former players. You see them there every evening with under sevens even. They're there every night. And they're, like Kevin said earlier, they're, you can't fault the underage coaching, but it's really top notch. There's three or four like that former players with every team nearly.
Mm-hmm. When you came in at minor, I mean, who were the guys that were the Podge Biles at the time? Who were the fellas running up and down for laps and teaching you the skills and the whole lot? I mean, it has to be that culture, doesn't it?
I forget now who was over it. Oh yeah, it was Nicky Lean there, and Bideff was, and Dermot, yeah. O'Carroll.
Yeah,
they were kind of main men.
Yeah. How important was it, Kevin, you know, for them to kind of be involved at the time and maybe pass on what knowledge they had and the whole lot?
Yeah, it was great. We always knew kind of Nicky and Dermot coming up, like, and they were good old crack to have as well, and like, they were good trainers as well, and should always be hoping everything goes good with them for the year.
And is that part of it as well? I mean, that you have to have that bit of fun as well, obviously. I mean, you know, it's hard to sustain a team for the whole year without, I suppose, maybe having that bit of enjoyment in it as well.
It is, yeah. I'd often see Padraig and Michael there in the training, and they'd do an old fun drill with the lads, like, you know, cause after a tough training session, you just have to lighten the mood and get them coming back for the next training session, I suppose, is the main thing.
Well, I see. So do you go in and mark them at training, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Which one is easier to get the ball off of?
They're both tough now, like, I don't know.
There's no mercy, Podge, is there? No mercy.
We got him retired from Kerry Hurling this year. He came on and trained the minors, which was a great boost for us, to be fair.
Jesus almighty. Of course, he had a bit more time this year, to be fair to him. Listen, guys, it was absolutely fantastic. Well done, congratulations. There's a great future ahead of you, even out in Ballybunion. Do you ever think of playing a bit of football, do you?
I do.
You do your best at it, anyway. Podge, fair play.
No matter.
Senior hurling manager after this.
I think he's going for the Kerry Minor Manager.
We leave the lads in Billy
up there for another while.
Absolutely. You have to win two in a row now, I suppose, to be fair. John, we'll see you here again next year. Make it a date.
Hopefully, yeah.
Same seat, same everything. Bring back a second medal. Yeah. Very best luck in your career. Guys, thanks very much, and well done for all you've done for hurling, club and county and the whole lot. Up next, it is Talks Us. Mary Conroy, big thanks for Keane this evening, sitting in there and producing and answering all the calls and everything. We'll do it all again next week.